David and Ben are playing Overwatch.
Are they having fun?
I don't know. I don't care. Scott, we can't hear you at all, so your mic might be plugged in.
Oh, no, I just haven't said anything yet.
Oh, okay. I assume you meant, is David having fun?
That's a fair point.
Especially because no, of course Ben's not having fun.
God damn it, the controller's broken. God damn it.
On the controller.
Character sucks. You're literally unplayable.
Podcasts, The Final Frontier. These are the audio logs of the podcast Superhero Time. Their 5-month mission? Explore old episodes of Star Trek, alienate even more listeners, and boldly plow your mom where no one has come before.
Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek. With Chris.
I've been hiding under these stairs, and I love you.
Hey, Mickey.
Bitches love cheese.
Scott.
Oh, I love it when they land face down.
And Fort Max.
He remembered that hole.
This week on that one episode of Star Trek, Discovery News.
Yes, we discovered things about Discovery.
Did you have to pay for them with your Discover card?
It's a Discoverectomy.
So you're removing the Discovery.
Yes. Okay, so all Trek fans love prequels, right?
Good, I know I do.
That's what we're getting. It's 10 years before Kirk.
Okay, that's fine. That's a time period that can have some stuff happen
in
it.
So, welcome to the age of Pike and velour turtlenecks.
Ooh.
Oh, so itchy.
I love me a good velour.
So, it's going to revolve around events mentioned in previous iterations of Star Trek, but never fully explored.
Oh, man. That
okay,
is...
Okay, now wait. So, like, in the original series, what even would that be?
Well, apparently it's not the Romulan War.
God damn it. Will we never get the Romulan War?
No, the Romulan War.
Because Romulans are boring.
No, the Romulan War would have started about season 7 of Enterprise if it had lasted that long.
I wish.
This is right before Kirk took the helm. So, you know, the timing would be wrong.
Yeah. Okay,
so the lead is going to be a human female who is a lieutenant commander.
Okay.
So the captain is not going to be the lead, the focus of the story.
Oh, so kind of a lower decks kind of thing.
Well, if lieutenant commander would be lower deck, I don't think so.
It depends if that lieutenant commander is a bridge officer or not.
Yeah. All right, so we got 13 episodes for the season, which I think we've heard of that before.
Maybe she's like the lieutenant commander in charge of beehives.
Supposed to have more aliens you normally have in a cast. Okay, whatever. Bring all the forehead ridges.
Yes.
Funny noses.
And vagina ears, I guess.
You put the forehead ridges into the vagina ears.
Ridged for her pleasure.
There will be a gay character, finally, which... Okay, sure, finally.
Good.
At this point, it's kind of like they kind of have to do that at this point, because... it's
the problem
it's like the homework you've been putting off for, like, weeks, and like, but the due date was, like, yesterday, like, shit, I gotta turn this in, otherwise I'm just gonna get, you know.
But the problem you realize is that they're just gonna completely overplay that. So it's like, you know, hey, notice our homosexual person or whatever, and not make it just like, this
person exists. Even if they don't exist that way, everyone's going to receive it that way. I think the problem is the reception rather than how the character's gonna be written.
I don't know. I mean, Star Trek's usually been pretty good about not pointing shit like that. They go, look, here's Uhura. She's black. Look how black she is. I mean, they did it a little bit with Sisko. He's a little bit more, I'm African-American. But Star Trek doesn't have a history of that. I think they can do it.
The problem is that everyone's going to latch on to talk about the gay character. Finally, the gay character.
Yeah, it'll last for first
cocks in space. It's great.
It'll last for a couple weeks, and then it'll stop. They'll get tired of it, and then they see the character is actually kind of boring. They'll let it go.
I think the next gay character is going to have a much easier time of being accepted as a character, and instead of, okay, here's finally the person filling this role, proving there's gay people in space.
Right.
It's just kind of unfortunate that it's taken this long to break that final frontier.
Oh. Now that's some quality podcasting.
But still, I mean, this gives me hope that we will see Captain RuPaul.
There's so many jokes to that.
Having RuPaul Charles be the captain would be amazing.
Look, Mickey, there's one fundamental problem with this idea. Scientifically, it's been proven there is no drag in space.
Oh, jeez. Oh, all right, I'm logging off. I'm done.
It's not a miniskirt, it's just a scant.
Yeah, but if you can see a bulge under the scant, does it really count?
Well, Rue would tuck.
Well, yeah, Rue would. I don't know about the other.
He's a professional.
Absolutely, he is. He or she. Is Rue he or she?
As Rue has said, you can call him he, or you can call her she, just as long as you call him.
And that's why we love RuPaul. Yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine they're going to overplay the gayness. People may react to it, but it won't last long. They'll get over it real quick, just like they did with everything else Star Trek has done.
Counterpoint, I think the fact that they're advertising that this is going to be a component of it all proves they're going to overplay it.
I don't know if they're advertising it. It's just news.
Right, but it doesn't need to be news is what I'm saying.
Well, the way it was brought out was sort of like in a fan thing where they just start talking to people. And they know that the fans been asking about a gay character for a long time. So you feel like a bullet point and not like a PowerPoint presentation or anything like that.
You can't prove that it's not, though.
Well, I mean,
do you feel it's being forced? Do you feel like you said, the fans are forcing it and this character exists because they feel like they have to? Honestly.
They have to for a different reason than what you're thinking. I don't think it's like a type of affirmative action forcing there has to be a gay character.
Right.
I think it's more like guilt, like, man, we really should have done this like 10 years ago in Voyager.
Okay.
And we could have gotten away with it with no problem. We just never got around to it. It's like, shit, man, we feel bad about this. We've really got to do this finally.
Yeah, you know what? I'm okay with that.
So,
I have an important concern about Star Trek Discovery, completely unrelated to what we've been talking about. If the Klingons appear, will they be smooth or ridged?
Hopefully smooth.
Well, they could be ridged because the time period when they injected that genetic virus into their species, it could have happened after.
Yeah, no, that's Enterprise bullshit. That doesn't count.
It's canon, baby. Whether you like it or not.
No, it still doesn't count.
I don't know. They could go either way. I wouldn't care.
Okay, so also, it will not be subject to broadcast standards and practices.
Hell yes.
Or hell no.
I want to see some Vulcan titties.
I don't know that Star Trek needs to have...
Would Vulcan titties be ridged?
They'd be pointy.
Yeah, pointy.
They'd be perky as hell.
Only as much as logic dictates.
So, they're a Star Trek alien. They have to have the ridges somewhere.
They're tanked.
Ridges. You know, Klingon ridges do go all the way down, so...
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
That's what Troy saw in Worf.
He definitely touched her deep inside.
I mean, it's what Worf saw in Troy.
Oh, man.
It's what he wanted to see inside her. We don't know that they got that far.
We might see Spock's mom.
Maybe. Which one?
Amanda Grayson.
Good point, because the other one wouldn't be born yet. Boy, that's a creepy thought.
What other one?
Sarek's second wife, Spock's stepmother.
Okay. Let's see here. There will be robots.
See, that sounds interesting.
And the statement, you can also bend space and time.
What does that mean?
Well, nobody really knows.
That's weird.
That could mean anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a warp bubble is, but whatever.
So that was sort of the official news. There is speculation of more cast. A female admiral, a male Klingon captain, a male admiral, and then a British male doctor.
Oh, yeah.
And then lots of speculation that the show is either in this season or the next season going to involve time travel to visit different eras.
Which would work. It's, you know, it's a thing.
So there's what we know about Discovery in a nutshell.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still looking forward to it.
I'm not happy about it being a prequel. But I understand why, because it's the 50th anniversary of the original series. And you really should do something close to that to celebrate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But all in all, if the story's good, I'll be on board.
Yeah, it can be done. It can be done.
They just didn't do it in Four Seasons Enterprise.
My main concern right now is just like for the visual design of the series to be consistent with the time period.
Like, will it still look like something that would be around the time frame of the first pilot visually?
Right. Which would be awesome.
I'm thinking we just need to accept some compromises.
Oh, sure.
Retconning of the switches and buttons out.
Well, maybe not that.
Maybe sets look like they're made out of metal instead of cardboard that's painted.
Well, yeah, the quality will be higher, but the look and the aesthetic can remain similar.
They have talked about playing around with the iconography of the original series. So I think they are going to go for the same kind of look, but I think we can definitely expect to see it be more modernized.
Which is great.
It really should be, because it does not look the future anymore. We should really reevaluate what the 23rd century looks like.
Okay, so I want to bring something as a comparison. So we've seen the Rogue One trailers from Star Wars, and it is set in the time, you know, before the first New Hope. And I sneezed right when I'm trying to talk.
Wait, how many New Hopes were there?
Well, yeah, the first
movie. The first New Hope, and then the second New Hope, which we don't talk about.
Yeah, okay.
Well, let's see. How many different re-edits have there been now?
And which New Hope is in the basement?
I knew if I sneezed once, I would lose control of the conversation completely.
So we had the first New Hope, and the second New Hope that came out last December.
So No. What came out last December was the abridged version of the original trilogy.
And then there's The Last Hope, which really was just a terrible series.
So Rogue One is set in that time period. Everything looks like it did in the 70s, A New Hope movie. But it works because it looked futuristic even back then. So I wonder if there's a way they can do that with kind of original series Star Trek. If it can keep the same aesthetic but still make it look futuristic.
Except it didn't even look futuristic back then. It looked like all the stuff you have right now, but in the shape of a spaceship.
Yeah. And busted.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing.
They even had stuff that was clearly CRT-based.
Yeah.
On those TV screens on little.
They also had holograms. They also had big floating holograms and cool stuff like that.
I bet those were CRT based holograms.
Oh my god!
They're 480i holograms.
Yeah.
You saw what that holographic chess game looked like. That was totally interlaced. I bet it was upscaled too.
So I just wonder if they can pull it off. I think you can with a big clunky, you know, those big cylindrical phaser rifles they had. And, you know, like you said, the velour turtlenecks.
See, like the costuming, they could keep looking very consistent with what we've seen from the original series around that time frame. Just, you know, updating them so they actually fit the actors and don't shrink weirdly in the dry cleaning.
And using cloths that aren't polyester.
Yeah.
Right, or cheesecloth that tears with every movement. Or maybe I'm thinking of Power Rangers, the movie. In any case, no, I'm more thinking like the sets need to look and feel a certain way, even if they have to, like, you know, downplay the buttons a little bit. You know, there is just a very distinct feeling to that time period in the colors, the finishes. Now,
the shapes.
Something like Scott's cylindrical chrome phaser rifle, I could see that getting tweaked and reworked a little bit because that thing looked dumb even by original Star Trek standards.
Really? I liked it.
So what I'm thinking is, like, you know how, like, the basic gray walls the Enterprise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is that flat color that it looks like it's spray painted plywood?
I love that slate color, though.
Yeah, I think we're going to see that look more like steel.
Yes, because that's what it's supposed to do. I mean, it was the same thing with the Klingons. They were supposed to look alien. They did the best they could with what they had.
So, oh, so another fun news. Let's talk about CBS All Access for a second.
Why?
Oh, okay.
Because, well, that's what the show was airing on.
Right.
It's a pay service, and there'll be 12 minutes of ads per hour.
Oh, now,
thanks.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but we would be paying for the privilege of watching the show on a subscription streaming video service, but at the same time, we have to sit through commercials at about the same rate as broadcast TV.
Yep. So it's like Hulu.
Actually, I guess a little bit less, because an hour's TV slot on normal TV has about 20 minutes of ads.
Yeah.
A quote from the head of CBS All Access, and I quote, "It's the lightest ad load you can get."
The smallest number that exists is 3.
We're toying with the idea of a commercial-free option, which I would assume would cost more.
So how much is CBS All Access going to be? $9.99?
I think $12.99 a month.
What?
That's more than Netflix.
Yeah.
And yet they're delivering the smallest ad load possible.
3 is the smallest number.
But really, it's going to be free because everyone's just going to torrent it.
Given this revelation, yes.
Oh, really? You only need to pay for 1 month to watch the whole series since it's only 13 episodes, so...
Yeah, because even if they only release one episode per week, there will be a bunch of people who just wait until the end to get it all at once.
Yeah.
Well, regardless...
At least one episode a month.
they do. They make them real time.
No, actually, that would kind of follow too, because like the first episode is going to be broadcast on TV. So in the first month, you would get that and episode 2, which would be exclusive to All Access, and then thereafter, every month, get one more episode, and then yeah, they would fill out a year that way.
A Time Life book series,
yeah. And that way, you can't avoid paying them $156 to watch the show.
Oh, no, I can avoid paying them that.
Well, yes, I know. I'm just saying, like, if they were releasing them once per week, you would only have to be in for, like, $40 instead.
Or you could just wait until they're all done.
Yeah.
Well, they only keep one on the air at a time.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
No,
this
back
month,
catalog.
You watch this episode.
Yep. And then they
the month's over, though, because it's going away. It's going back in the archive.
That's right.
Back into Disney Vault.
Yes.
Netflix Frozen Head.
No, this is Paramount. It's going back in the mountain.
We'll have to climb up it to get another episode.
We're dropping a mountain on that fucker. Speaking of dropping a mountain on that fucker, how about a Geordi episode?
All right.
What did we watch this week?
Interface.
Now, are there any Geordi episodes where he doesn't have a bunch of terrible stuff happen to him?
No, that's the whole basis of this theme month for it, Max.
No, I was just wondering if there was an exception to the rule somewhere.
No, because then it wouldn't be a Geordi episode. You can't have a Geordi episode unless something bad is happening to him, because that's the life of Geordi LaForge. Like, even that episode that's supposed to be about, you know, affirming him as a character in the first season, it still has half of it with the white guy engineer calling up and harassing him on the bridge the entire time. You cannot have a Geordi episode where he's not treated like shit. It's a rule.
It is. It's actually in the series Bible, if you've got a copy of it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Can Star Trek have a Bible? Is that sort of like counterproductive?
And lo, the Roddenberry came off the mount.
I'm sure Deep Space Nine had the Bajoran Bible.
Yeah.
He had a pad in each arm.
You're right. These
actually, I have 10 pads.
One pad. I think that's how the rules of acquisition came down too, from the Ferengi gods.
Now, I bet in the Ferengi version, like, each rule was minted on the back of a coin. They just tossed it off the side. They tossed it off their Empire State Building.
So it is for interface, right?
Dubai.
Yes, it is interface. Yes. What, Mickey?
So Ferenginar is basically Dubai?
I think so.
Yeah, probably.
It's like Dubai mixed with Las Vegas.
Opulent, maintained by slave labor.
Yeah.
Probably. There's not really a whole lot of information about how, like, the lower orders of Ferengi society work. Which you would think...
Pretty sure whatever they do...
There's not a lot of information on how the lower orders of human society work in the future, either.
In theory, there is no lower order of human society in the future. In practice, we know that's probably bullshit.
I mean, the closest we get is Sisko's dad having a restaurant.
No, right. The closest we get is Bashir's dad, who is aimless and keeps changing jobs all the time because he can't find himself. But that's still somehow okay because, you know, it's the future. But, like, one of the whole concepts behind the characterization of Bashir's dad was that even in the future, some people just cannot, you know, find what they're supposed to be doing. Some people are just failures even in the 24th century.
See also Barclay, comma, Reginald.
No, because when Barclay's put in front of a problem and actually left alone to deal with it himself and not to talk to people, he's a capable engineer. Like, he's actually found...
Unless he's having fantasies in the holodeck or turning to a mutated spider.
Look, nobody's perfect.
Talk to Voyager.
If I'm going to be a failure, I definitely want to be one in the 24th century as part of the Federation.
Yeah. So anyway, interface?
It doesn't seem like the safest place to suck.
Exactly. Except, you know, a glory hole.
I'm really starting to have misgivings about this episode, you guys.
You should. Spoiler alert, something terrible happens to Geordi. I don't want to ruin it for you guys. But
although I will go out and say, just to start with, that this is the least Season 7 episode of Season 7 of Next Generation.
In what way?
Season 7 of Next Generation is pretty uniformly awful. This episode could have been Season 6, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure that just made its day.
Aside from the general pointlessness of it.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not a bad story.
It's trying to say something, but at the end, it's a very low-key kind of pointless episode with not a lot at stake.
No, but it's an interesting story for its, internal to itself. So while it is pointless in a larger sense,
I'll agree
still...
with that, but what... What it's integrated into, as far as a larger scope, is lacking.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. It is a Season 7 episode.
Yeah, it's kind of consequenceless.
Yeah.
Which is kind of upsetting since someone died.
Yeah, well, Star Trek's never been very good at that.
Nobody died. That was the whole point of the episode. She's just missing, damn it.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Oh. Yeah, we'll get to that. I'm pretty sure some people fucking
die. Talk about this right now. Scoot, get on it.
Who? What? Me? What?
Scoot!
Well, my mother called me that once.
That's never going to stop now. All right, Scoot, let's go.
Aye, aye, Captain. Here we go. All righty. So let's start this motherfucker. All right, so Geordi's climbing
like
up a Jeffrey's tube.
In already.
Jeffrey's climbing up a Geordi tube.
That doesn't happen until Discovery.
He's getting to the top and he sees some gas. Wait, I feel like I'm reading a different script here. So Geordi is without his visor, climbing up through this smoky tube, ostensibly in the Enterprise, and he starts coughing. Which is stupid if you keep watching the episode.
He discovered Barclay's secret starship bong.
So he's climbing. Apparently there's some sort of fire inside the Enterprise. So he's clawing through these tubes. He's like, oh, I can feel the heat. Oh, there it is. I'm getting closer to it. And he's talking to Riker somehow, assumingly through his communicator. And he's complaining about how hot it is. He'd say it's over 2,000 degrees, and he's going in. And crawling. It's all smoky. Yep. And he's standing.
Here is the fire.
Yeah, he's just standing in the fire. And he reaches in and starts pulling some levers, and the fire extinguisher comes on and puts it all out. So apparently Geordi has turned into Superman.
So, A...
No. This is why he's the chief engineer.
He can just walk into the warp core, adjust knobs, and walk out.
As long as he doesn't fall over the rail.
The last time they had someone that couldn't stand the heat, they put him on Genesis and they came back and it was a big deal. So now all chief engineers are required to be able to withstand extreme temperatures.
That's true, because the Scotty Mark I, he tried to do it through massive amounts of insulation, and that didn't work out too well, because they couldn't fit in a uniform.
massive amounts of insulation and massive amounts of insulin.
That'd be so much better if Mickey wasn't breaking up.
Okay. So then we do a quick cut, and we're in some sort of science lab, and Data and Riker and Crusher are standing around looking at Geordi, who he looks like he's standing in the same tube they kept Hugh the Borg in.
It is.
Okay. So
one they had Locutus in, and Data's, you know, horrifying sex puppet.
Right. So
Tasha, the other one.
Yeah. Which, there's so many. So LaForge is standing there in his little suit covered in tubes and blinkies. And apparently, and then they start talking about, oh, well, the interface is working well. And why the fuck did he cough? He's not really there. Oh, it's psychosomatic. Don't worry about it. And he's so amazed, like, oh, I feel like I'm there in a Jeffries tube. Never been in one of those before.
So I got some issues with this. And it's nothing to do with like the probe or anything. It's like, okay, there's a fire burning 2,000 degrees inside the Enterprise somewhere. There's no alarm sounding that anybody can hear.
And they need to use the manual controls for the fire extinguishers, which are right by where the fire is.
Yeah, and nobody seems especially concerned about this whole thing going on at all.
Apparently, it's just something that happens. On spaceships, as the fires break out, just like.
Now, what I want to know is, okay, we are getting multiple Geordi point of view shots. Why is he seeing in normal colors?
Because, that's a really good question.
Because the probe's sensors aren't as complex as his visor.
So he has to see only in like normal colors.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, moving on. So, yes, because of his visor interface, they can plug again right into his poor little brain, which at this point is just like a screen door with like a hole in the bottom where cats can get in.
See also Star Trek Generations.
Exactly. So despite the fact that allows him to see, it is the biggest security breach in Starfleet. I swear, this is like like an easily hackable email server. Topical. So
I just imagine, like, in Geordi's brain where, you know, the implants are, if somebody, like, logged into that with a web browser, they just see this network hacked by Lost Orbit.
Right.
Or Lord Taco, as the case may be.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Wow, that's a throwback. Yeah, definitely Lord Taco. So he's trying to climb down this ladder, and he starts getting the jiggling fever. He starts getting the ankle shuffles. He's like, oh, shit, I can't move my foot. What's going on? They're like, oh, well, the signal's too low. Let's boost it to move your foot. So then they do, and then he can move his foot. Wow. Man, this episode's exciting already.
And then he walks by the Master System display, which is turned off for some reason.
Yeah, let me fast forward a little bit. You're ahead of me.
And yeah. I do find it weird that hologram Geordi has normal eyes.
It's not even a hologram, it's just...
Well...
It's our representation of Geordi, which is cheaper to have than a physical model of a, you know, floating probe.
Right. But I would like to say the probe looks a little bit too much like Nomad from the original series.
It's a probe. I mean,
yeah. I don't know. It seems kind of cheap.
Probe looks like isn't so important.
It's what it feels like going in. Is that just me? That's just me.
Yeah, okay. Good enough.
All right, moving on.
I was hoping for a better punchline, but whatever, I'll take it.
Yeah, okay.
We know you'll take the probe.
So they're in orbit around a gas giant.
That's what I was talking about.
So one of the first things I noticed in this episode...
I don't have to satisfy Hey Mickey's probe once.
Oh, my God. That laugh was a little too knowing. There's stuff that's like, ha, ha, ha. Ooh, mm. So the first thing I noticed about this episode is the Enterprise Bridge has new carpet. Oh, red and gray.
Is it new?
Well, it was new to this episode. All the other episodes we watched were like season 2, 3, and 4.
Oh.
I don't know. They did update the set dressing at some point.
Yeah, I don't know when they did it, but it's like, oh, look, the carpet looks different.
I just assume at some point along the way, like, you know, one EPS conduit rupture went the wrong way, and eventually there was a stain on the carpet. They just had to pull the whole thing up and redo it.
Pretty sure
Worf Troy had the bridge crew, and she spilled chocolate ice cream everywhere. And nothing is chocolate out.
Well, I thought Worf just left another mess. Even though they sprayed him with a water bottle, he still did it. All right, so apparently there's a ship that's designed to go 11,000 kilometers deep into a fucking gas giant planet and do science. And something bad happened, and now the Enterprise is here to save them, I guess?
That's pretty badass, though.
Yeah, that's totally badass. They can't, sensors aren't working, they don't know where the ship is. Riker's like, well, they could still be alive. And yeah, right, sure they are. Mm-hmm.
That's why he's not in the science division.
Yeah. Could we punch the planet to make it give us the ship back? No, Riker. It doesn't work that way.
Can I swing my leg over it?
Yeah. So they're like, oh, well, how convenient. We have Geordi. They can use a probe to go down there and do it and not risk anybody except for Geordi, even though he's here. So whatever.
Okay, so I have some questions, as awesome. I frequently do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they talk about how they can't use the transporters. They can't use their sensors. How did they actually get the probe down there that deep in the atmosphere without it being destroyed?
They just dropped it, I guess.
Right, but gas giant.
They dangled it.
I guess the probe is that tough. I mean, I'm more concerned about the pressure when you start getting down deep enough. I mean, it'll
that's kind of a problem, isn't it?
It's a little bit of a problem.
If it's a problem, if it doesn't need to be, if it doesn't need to be sealed in any way, the pressure wouldn't be a problem.
No, it would be a problem because the pressure would crush it into a little ball.
Well, I see what Formax is saying, though. If it's equalized pressure inside,
if it doesn't need to be airtight or anything, it wouldn't get crushed from the pressure because the atmosphere would be able to go inside.
Right, I see what you're saying. The pressure is equalized inside and outside of it. But the problem
like
is,
it's like an open can won't get crushed in the bottom of the ocean because it's open.
Right, but I think they're interior components and mechanisms that can be crushed.
There's another issue at hand too, which is the deeper you get into a gas giant's atmosphere, it gets extremely, extremely hot.
Yes,
like solar surface hot.
Mm-hmm.
Gas giants aren't great places to visit.
No. Let's see. All right, so they're on the bridge. Apparently, a commander or an Admiral Holt wants to talk to Picard.
Steve?
Steve Holt. All right, so whatever. So even though he's got an important call from an Admiral, Picard's still hanging around telling people what to do.
It's good to be Picard.
Yeah. I'm coming. God damn it.
Another Admiral banquet.
Yes, evil Admiral? What evil plan of yours can I thwart today?
Oh, this Admiral's not evil.
Pretty evil. I mean, look at him. Look at that pudgy, doughy, friendly face. Behind that looks evil.
I don't know. They stuck him out on some space station in the middle of nowhere. He can't be like, that evil. If he was evil, they'd keep him at home where he could actually, like, do something.
Yeah, because he's, you know, like, Deep Space 3 or some shit.
Yeah.
Of course, it's such an early number. It's probably, like, Alpha Centauri or something. That's what Deep Space was when it was built. That's just like the... That's like camping in your front yard.
It's over on Charon.
Yeah. Ooh, the edge of the solar system. All right. So whatever. So he's basically saying that the ship that Geordi's mom was on has gone missing. We don't know what happened to it. It's in the sector of space, and it just, whoop, we lost it. Sorry. Whoopsie.
So we're looking for it, but, you know, don't hold out any hope. It's gone. We're not looking very hard.
We lose ships all the time, man. We're all surprised you guys have lasted 7 seasons. That's amazing.
Like, you know that time you disappeared for 17 days into a time warp? Man, we didn't even bother.
We didn't
even look for you. Another Timmy.
Yeah, you might want to call your brother and let him know you aren't dead. We've got to mention that 3 seasons ago. Sorry. I think Starfleet ships just have like a dead man switch where they constantly send a signal back. As soon as that signal stops, they just automatically send out all the letters to their family members. It's always assumed that they're dead the first instant they don't call back. Oh, now that's the morbidity that I come to that I come for in this podcast. That's what I'm here for. Oh. So Picard does a merry little stroll down to the science lab and goes, oh, by the way, the Hera is missing. Geordi's like, missing? And his bottom lip quivers and he says, my mother? No, the Hera, the ship. But yes, your mother was on there, so yes, that too. So we can tell by his amazing acting, he just really, I can't really tell what he feels because I can't see his eyes. So we cut back to Geordi's quarters, and he's in there talking to Ben Vereen for some reason.
That's his dad!
Oh, wait, no, that's his mom.
I thought that was Sisko's dad.
That's Uhura's dad. No, he's in there watching videos from his mom. And
who was Sisko's dad? It was another famous...
No, not just videos. He's checking his answering machine.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, you're right. Man, I should have watched this a couple weeks ago. So Riker just comes barging in and says, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were master.
And
oh.
No, the best part is that it's sure that, well, Geordi's definitely not the only one trying to pick up girls at every opportunity.
That's true. They do have that in common. So Riker's just like, oh, dude, I'm sorry. You're watching your mom, her last message to you. That's kind of going to suck. Geordi's like, yeah, I probably should have answered her.
Well, it's okay, because Geordi's sure she's not really dead.
Yeah. Yeah. I love like when Geordi says, I never got back to her, the look on Riker's face, like, you piece of shit. The look in his face is just like, not sympathy. It's like, oh my God, dude, what's wrong with you? Then he recovers.
Riker's like, do you know what I would give him to not call my mom back?
Oh, no, just wait. That comes later in the episode.
She's the one who told me to grow this beard.
What, Geordi's mom was?
No, Riker's mom.
To be fair, Geordi's mom probably did get Riker some pointers after 6.
Yeah, that's true. Because Riker's the only first officer to ever do prima nocturis aboard a starship.
Which is what now? Is that a straight thing?
No, that's like the medieval kings would have sex with the new wife, you know, because he was the king and he could do that.
So kings and wives is a straight thing. Okay, gotcha.
Look, whatever. Queens had sex with horses. I want to hear about it.
I want to hear about that.
I'll send you some links after the podcast.
Great.
All right, so...
The external draft
or are you talking about Supergirl again?
Oh, boy. Oh, we're not doing a Kevin Smith podcast. No. All right. So they hook Geordi up into the gimp suit again and put on a blindfold by taking off his visor.
That thing looks really itchy, by the way.
It really does. So they hook him up. He can't see anything, so they start increasing the signal tolerance. And apparently if they give too much signal, then his nervous system will fry or something. That's like the
threat. Yeah, they're really just needing to adjust the antenna because they weren't able to pick up the color signal.
Yeah. All the porn's coming in all scrambled looking.
Good thing that transmits in analog and not digital.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, if this were HDMI, man, it'd be totally different.
And digital, you,
it could be digital line. It could be the same type of thing that DVD and Blu-ray uses, where there's a black and white image and then two different color images.
That's weird. You're a nerd.
Well, it's just like, you know, with vinyl, you know, the analog still gets all the flavor.
Right. All right. So he's transposed himself into the probe, which is aboard the ship, which got inside somehow. So now we're just wandering around the halls of this very bland, generic looking corridor of a Starfleet ship. It's all destroyed. Atmosphere is leaked in from the gas giant. So everything's got to be dead. I'm serious, man. This is...
Like, they figure probably everything's dead, but, you know, Geordi has the one last hope. Well, there's a magnetic storage room. What? Up ahead. And, you know, if anybody was going to survive, that'd be the place to go. So we're
going to go and open the doors to it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The controls don't work, for one thing. So he's like, okay, give me a phaser beam as he, you know, floats himself up there. And he blows the control panel out and forces the door open. So even if anybody was alive in there, they wouldn't be much longer.
No, and that is definitely one thing about this episode that bugged me as I was watching it. It's like, oh, there might be people inside. I'll open the door. I'm like, wait, no, don't! And then, you know. Although the fact that Geordi can shoot a phaser out of his palm is pretty rad.
It should have shot out of his mouth.
No, his eyes.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Because who hasn't...
Cyclops image.
Who hasn't wanted at some point in their life phaser eyes? I'm sure in the 24th century version of Superman, he does have, you know, phaser vision instead of laser vision.
Yeah.
The 24th version century version of Superman still under copyright?
Yes.
I thought it was funny. Probably. All right. So Geordi's in the room. There's all the dead people around who weren't dead about 5 seconds before he opened the fucking door, but whatever. He turns around and suddenly there's fire. And he goes, ah, fire.
Fire bad.
So he back up on the science lab. Crusher pulls his hands up and they're covered in period blood. So apparently he has superpowers. His psychosomatic response is so strong his own body can burn itself.
Well, they explain it in the next scene.
Ugh, poorly.
Which is that the heat thing's overloaded, yet how were they even able to get that much power?
Yeah, the suit burned him, basically, which is, what a terrible idea for a suit.
You know that thing's hooked into the EPS system.
Oh my god. I hope they don't get in a fight anytime soon. He's definitely dead. Or he's like a AAA battery stuck in this thing.
No, Geordi's probably at least a C cell.
It's a black thing, isn't it? Geordi, you got a mag light in that uniform? No, sir. All right, whatever. So, like, well, we can't take you back down there again because it's too dangerous. And Geordi's like, no, I'm fine. I'll do it. That's the conflict. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. They found the bridge. So maybe they can find some answers on the bridge.
No, the bridge was exposed to space. They had to go to auxiliary control.
Oh, that's right.
And what they're doing is they're not finding answers, but they're just trying to get all the research data back.
Yeah.
We don't care how this happened. We just want to get the stuff that we sent them there for so that...
they didn't die for nothing, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, but now Charlie Sheen Ben Vereen shrinks the size of a lima bean.
Knife.
Here's Ben Vereen, everyone. And hey, Mickey, just hang up.
You shouldn't have used that spell, Scott.
Apparently not. My magic is so powerful that it knocked Hey Mickey offline. Yep, he's gone. All right, my plan for podcast domination continues. Oh shit, it came back.
Sorry.
Are you?
Hi, Mickey.
How tall are you right now?
I'm sorry.
All right. I cast a spell and you disappeared. We thought you got too small to control the headset.
Okay, I'm not following any of this. All right.
All right, well, when you listen to this later, you'll get it. Moving on.
Yes, oh, yeah, sure, when this. He listens to it.
Oasis says don't look back in anger. I just say don't look back.
When XV's mom listens to this and you're banging her, you know, in a couple of days, she'll tell you all about it.
I wish she'll be able to hear anything from her face inside all the food.
Oh, my God. Face down in a bowl of pudding.
So here's where the episode gets kind of fucked up.
Oh, yeah, now? Yeah, Geordi's talking to his dad.
Yeah, and, like, you know, Geordi's still trying to be all hopeful, like, okay, the ship's only missing. They haven't found any positive indication that she's dead yet. There's still hope. And, you know, Geordi's dad's just sitting there, and he's got this look on his face, like, boy, how stupid are you?
Like, yeah, she's dead. Uh-huh.
I'm fine with this. Let's have a party.
I know. Right. It's like no one is questioning this possibility except Geordi. No one has any hope that somehow the ship has just like gone out of contact for a while.
Geordi's dad is like,
much like other ships.
Yeah.
With LaForges on them tend to.
It's unlucky, like having a woman aboard like a pirate ship. Yeah, Ben Vereen's just like, look, Geordi, if we do the funeral, your aunt will bring that potato salad I like so much. So we really should just do this.
I did like one part of this exchange, which was that apparently the majority of the ship's crew of the Hera was Vulcans.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of like interesting.
Because there are like almost specifically Andorian ships and Tellarite ships and Vulcan ships. We just never see them.
Right.
Because that would be intolerable to watch a series about.
Oh, God, can you imagine watching a whole series about Tellarites?
All that hair.
Yeah, the pig noses and insults constantly.
So my favorite part about this scene is at the very end of it when Ben Vereen like, tap dances off the screen.
The man's got moves. There's no doubt about that. He's a classic entertainer. So Geordi just kind of, again, just wanders into Data's quarters. He's like, so you working? And Data's like, shut up, I'm watching something. He's like, no, I've already done all my works. Now I'm enjoying myself because, you know, I'm a person too.
He's like, yeah.
So basically, Data has decided to spend some time reflecting on the emptiness and, you know, futility of existence. So he's reading Nihilist Arby's on his screen there.
Oh my God, can you Photoshop a picture of Nihilist Arby's on his screen?
Oh, I easily could do that, and I thought about doing that, but it would take too much, like, setup to actually present the joke.
If only we had someone that could do it for us.
Exactly.
Some type of aquatic spacefaring fowl.
He's a chicken, actually.
Yeah. Oh, mighty one. So the ancient Deucidarians, which the writers had a good joke and laugh at that one, apparently part of their poetry is that they have moments of silence in them to reflect.
That sometimes what's going last on for weeks.
In the poetry. And some of them last for weeks.
What an interesting culture that we never hear of again.
Yeah, thank God. That's what needs to be a whole crew of them.
That's because they're having another break.
Yes.
Yeah. Is there piece de resistance? We're taking a century off, y'all. 100 years of nothing.
And then someone farts and they have to start over.
God damn it, Jerry. Okay, so Data basically just rips poor Geordi to shreds, going, you're a lying piece of shit. You came by my quarters to talk about something. Don't lie to me and tell me there isn't. So I'm going to try to be polite now and tell you everything's okay. But I really don't mean that because I'm an android, so go fuck yourself. Jesus. Brutal. Although I can definitely see why Geordi has Data as a friend.
Because no one else will put up with him?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And Data's the only person on the ship who's more autistic than Geordi. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
So Geordi's like, okay.
I'm glaring at you a bit.
I know, I can feel it. I can be mean to XB, but I just can't be mean to Fortmax. I really want to, but I just can't.
It's like drowning a sack of wet puppies.
Now, if you could drown a sack of dry puppies,
you know.
Yeah, if you could do that, I'd be very impressed.
Yes.
Creeped out, but impressed.
Really, you just need a lot of sand.
No, but if you think about it, if you put the puppies into a plastic bag and you submerge them in water, they're not going to drown. They're just going to suffocate.
Right. That's why you need the sand to fill the lungs.
Oh,
I would like to point out that the conversation we're having now is less depressing than watching Geordi and Data interact. Oh, boy. So they're just sitting here just going back and forth trying to just out... Ugh, I don't even know. Out loser each other. Geordi's winning. God, he's such a sad sack. Man up. So, again, back in the probe, because he's useless as a person, so let's make him half robot. Does anybody have anything here? This is so boring.
Okay, his mom shows up.
Okay, well, yeah.
In a burst of flame.
Fuck this shit. Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, that's normal.
Mom is awesome.
So, yeah, she's apparently down on the secondary bridge or the control room or whatever, and everyone's like, Geordi, who are you talking to? She's like, I'm talking to my mom. Shut up. My mom's totally here.
All right, we're pulling you like, out.
Because, you know, when you see your mother, she goes, yes, XV, it's mother. Because that's how mothers talk.
Yeah, I mean, how does your mom talk to you? Mom, like,
well, yeah, given Geordi's personality, I wouldn't put a weird mother out of the question.
That's true. She always calls him Geordi. Hello, Geordi.
My son.
Yes. How was your day at school today? Boy. So she's this image of his mother. Is like, we need help. You got to help us.
It's been the chatterbot of his mom.
Yeah.
So he reaches out.
Geordi's mom ebooks.
So he reaches out and touches her, which shocks him and knocks him unconscious. Okay. Yeah. So he had a sensory overload, and now he's down in sick bay. Okay, I don't care about any of this. He's like, so oh, I wasn't really hallucinating. And she's like, you were hallucinating. But he's like, but I wasn't. I saw her. And she's like, that's what a goddamn hallucination is, you dink.
Anyway, Mickey, I am not responsible for this. I didn't pick this episode.
Who did?
I think you did, actually.
Horseshittery. I wouldn't have picked an episode I've never watched before unless it was from Voyager.
I wouldn't have picked an episode from season 7, so...
I'm going to blame Scott.
Oh, wait.
I didn't pick any of these.
I think this was my idea. I remember not liking this one, thinking it'd be fun to make fun of. I was wrong. I'm man enough to admit it. I was wrong. Okay, yes, yes, we know brains weren't made to absorb telemetry data from probes. You were being hooked into their visual cortex. Thank you, Crusher. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I really love Geordi's cosplaying his Borg outfit he's wearing. Borg on a dime.
Yeah. It's just so uncomfortable looking.
It looks like it's made out of mouse pads, and it's really hot.
Now, it looks like mouse pads. Oh, I love it.
Now, when you say really hot,
yeah,
do you like mean...
he's probably sweaty and clammy on the inside?
Ooh, that
doesn't answer my question, though.
Like inside, he's just completely soaked.
Still not clarifying. Still, I still got a halfy here. I don't know which way to go with this thing. So, yeah, they're like, look, the hair disappeared 300 light years away. There's no way your mom's ship is in the middle of this planet that you happen to be orbiting. You're crazy. Shut the fuck up. He's like, but I want it to be alive. It's still real to me. So I guess Picard got tired of his shit. And was like, you're going to go talk to the counselor. That's your punishment.
We remember that Troy is relevant.
She is contractually obligated to have speaking lines in this episode. So scoot.
Now, I do actually like Troy in the scene because she's actually doing a competent counselor bit.
Oh, she's doing her job. You know? Yeah.
But she's not being early Counselor Troy where she's just like, tell me about your feelings. She's like, no, you get a problem and here I'm going to solve it for you. Tell me why you're crazy right now. Do it.
Give me that wrench.
Well, I like this. Like, yeah, it's a good dynamic in the scene. Tell me about your mother. No, I'm not going to talk to you about my childhood. That's not what I asked you, bitch.
Yeah. Actually, Troy does get some good lines like that. People try to assume her. She's like, no, it's not what I asked. Okay, yeah, her mom was busy. He's busy. They're working. And he feels guilty for not getting back to her, which is now manifesting itself as seeing visions of her through the interface. Okay, thank you, episode.
Now, just harping on Troy a little bit more, as much as I love to get Troy shit for being ridiculous and a terrible character a lot of times, I love it when they get her character right and use her in the way that she works with the episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And when they portray her as a competent counselor dealing with a character episode where someone's having like a mental breakdown, It really helps focus the plot and move things along.
Right.
Agreed.
The problem is you get maybe two of those episodes per season and the rest of the time they still have to do something with her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like have her get pregnant by space lights.
Now, were there... I assume there were four of them.
That's very unsafe behavior for it, Max.
I should watch the episode someday, but I probably won't.
It's
next
really
time
good.
I come visit, we'll do that.
Dude, it's got Cardassians. How could you not like it?
It's got Picard
Kim's
with no
okay.
pants for an hour.
Old jokes.
So... yeah, and as much crazy shit as these people see in deep space, it does make sense to have a counselor on board, at least one, if not a couple. Because, I mean, with people getting abducted and their bodies shifted and seeing alternate realities and God
and Barclay.
Knows. And having Barclay on board.
Really, she had two counselors.
Yeah, I sense that you're having murderous intentions. Yeah, that's right. I got duty with fucking Barclay.
I still just want to see the Vulcan ship's counselor.
It's a calculator. type. Yes, 2 + 2 = 4. I feel so much better now. Thank you.
Now, the Ferengi ship's counselor would be an accountant, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's okay. It all makes sense.
A retirement.
All the numbers still add up.
A Ferengi counselor would just be a retirement advisor.
It'd be Joel Osteen.
Oh, fuck you.
He'd be selling self-help books.
Ugh.
And the Ferengi religion is just Scientology.
that works so well, it's not even funny. So
yeah, I know.
That's like,
that, yeah. Like
it creeps, yeah, exactly. We're like, yeah, so where's the joke? All right, so we cut to the meeting room, and there's Picard and Riker and Data and Geordi. And they're figuring out, okay, what can we possibly do to get this ship out of here? Well, we use
without
shuttlecraft.
Without putting Geordi back in a robot.
Yes, because it might kill him. So we use shuttlecraft.
Also,
we can
piggyback
a tractor beam. We can do all kinds of crazy stuff.
So they come up with the idea to daisy chain shuttles.
That's hot.
To carry the tractor beam further? What?
To focus the tractor beam,
what?
Which makes even less sense.
Yeah, I'm not real clear on this exactly. I mean, I guess it's
they're
like
just tying the shuttles full of tachyons, and it's gonna be fine.
Well, I imagine it this way: it's like tying a rope to another piece of rope, so you make the whole rope longer. It's the same kind of thing. They're tractor beaming one shuttle, which is tractor beaming another shuttle.
Except that's not what they're doing.
No, you're right. They're like
they're
like
positioning the two shuttles to focus the tractor beam.
Well, they're giant satellite
so
missions broadcasting AM radio somewhere.
Jesus. So now Geordi is still there, like, talking about, okay, how are we going to get the ship here? He's like, yeah, but the Ahara might be down there. And they're like
okay.
Let's because the Ahara passed by here a week or two ago.
And it got 300 light years away? That's a pretty good rate of travel.
Yeah, it is.
Well, they had experimental engines, you see, and they might have malfunctioned and teleported right back here to where I'm at.
They might have malfunctioned because the engineer liked turbocharging them.
Right. A subspace funnel, and then a fairy came out and waved its wand, and then...
And then there was red matter.
Hera passed by just 10 days ago. That means something, right? Eh? Oh, boy.
And Capricorn is rising.
Riker is looking at him like, nigga, you crazy. What's wrong with you? Come on, man.
It's like they had Geord... It's like they were testing out Technobabble for Voyager.
Yeah.
Voyager's Technobabble was never tested out.
No.
So even Riker's like, Geordi, that doesn't make any damn sense. Metro Data, is any of this possible? And the Data looks at Geordi and comfortably goes,
yes.
But highly unlikely.
Barely.
Possible.
Yeah, nearly impossible. So Geordi's like, man, screw this. Captain's like, no, I'm done listening. And Geordi throws a chair at him. Holy Christ.
And that's,
Jesus, gone rogue.
And that's when Picard sends him to Troy, I think.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
We did jump ahead a little bit there, but it's fine. It was more interesting.
Geordi throws a chair at Captain Picard. Holy God.
You know, Picard takes it pretty well.
Oh, yeah, it just deflects off a skull and just comes at him.
He goes, if he had thrown it at Riker, Riker would just disarm the situation by stepping on the chair.
No, he would step over the chair and let it pass harmlessly by. Yeah,
by stepping over it. Like a Chuck Norris kick.
Yeah, it'd be like in all slow motion and everything. Just, you know.
I like how Picard is just like, look, your mom's dead. I don't give a shit because she's not my mom. So do your job.
Look, Geordi, I'm not unsympathetic, but I don't care about your problem.
Right. You have to save this ship full of corpses.
Right.
You're counting on us.
Your mom, who could be alive, is secondary to the dead people.
The scientific research data is counting on us.
We've never seen a gas giant planet before. We have to know everything about it.
How does the gas get there? What does it do while it's down there?
If only we had a probe of the
gas retirement plan.
Find out this stuff that's putting people in danger.
What does the gas taste like? Nobody knows.
I think the corpses know what the gas tasted like.
Does the gas have feelings? Does it like jazz?
What's your atomic number and tell me you like jazz?
For deprotect the one interface with the probe. Then we may be able to tell what it was feeling.
Oh, boy. Of course, Deanna Troi just sitting in her course going, I just feel a little gassy. I don't know what's up with me today. Oh, I feel better. Too many ice cream sundaes.
There's no such thing as too many ice cream sundaes.
Oh, God.
There's no such thing as too much ice cream anything.
Guys, this is the worst podcast on earth.
Yeah.
Isn't it great?
It is.
We're technically considered a war crime by the Geneva Convention.
It's a true fact. You cannot listen to this in Iran.
Can't really listen to it anywhere.
No. Okay, so...
So we're in engineering, and engineering. Riker comes Riker in.
And goes, look, I'm sorry about being such a dick earlier. My mom died when I was a baby, so I don't really care about your mom at all, because my story's worse. Because, you know, when someone has a tragedy, you always try to outdo them on how bad your tragedy is. That always makes people feel better. That makes people feel better.
It makes me relatable, right?
Yeah.
You're crazy. Stop it.
So
I was crazy, too, once. They told me to stop it, so I did.
That's exactly how it goes.
So well, I like the way this goes, too, because, like, Riker's telling him this intensely personal story of when he was a kid, and basically he talked himself into believing his mom was still alive. until his teacher and his dad got together and were like, no, stop it, you're a dumbass.
Right.
And then Geordi's response to it is like, yeah, but your mom is dead.
Yeah, she had
there was a warning and everything. Which, to be fair, this is Starfleet. He's on a ship that has disappeared for 17 fucking days before.
Whoa!
The rare Fort Max F-bomb in the wild.
Yeah, holy crap. Can we, like, star this episode or something now? We need to flag this one.
And its mom ship hasn't even been gone that long yet.
It's been missing for, like, 6 hours. The ship's been missing for, like, 3 days, and they're already declaring everyone dead.
Yeah, they can orbit a moon and be out of, like radio transmission. It doesn't mean they're gone. Did the Starfleet not have object permanence?
Well, they just know they put a woman captain in charge. Oh. And typically when that happens, ships end up with the Delta Quadrant. And they don't see them again for 7 years.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, Riker comes down and tries to help Geordi. And Geordi goes, screw you.
I just like that response. But your mom is dead.
Yeah, there was a body in a funeral.
She's rotting in the ground in Alaska.
Probably. See, we don't know for sure.
A little bit. Now, what I love about Riker's story, though, is that he concocted hope, and his dad robbed that from him. Because his dad is kind of an asshole. And it explains a lot about how Riker's relationship with his dad was depicted earlier in the series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's good that that's kept consistent even later, even when, like, supposedly him and his dad are trying to, you know, work on fixing their relationship. Like, it doesn't make what it was go away.
So, wait, so what do we know about Riker's dad?
Well, he appeared once in season 2.
I do not remember that.
Yeah, and he was kind of a prick.
And then they did some kung fu fighting.
Now, whose dad would this lightning. Have... Now, whose dad would this have been originally? Since it was a season 2 episode.
That's a good question, because it wouldn't have been Decker's dad, because Decker's dad is dead.
Kirk's?
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, maybe.
So, so they go. So Geordi suits up to his Borg cosplay and is down in the science lab. He's going to go down there again to go find his mom, not telling anybody, disobeying a direct order. Data,
Geordi's gone rogue.
Data, being the robo bro that he is like, I can't let you do this by yourself. I'm going to help you because we're bros. Which is awesome, I think.
Data ingested like 300,000 texts on the concept of being a bro. And his research indicates this is the correct course of action to take.
Well, this was only after he got the tribal arm tattoo, and then he went right to the science lab.
This scene really needs, like, Data attempting a fist bump.
And Geordi is staring at him like,
what the hell?
Or Geordi tries to, you know, do it back and crushes his knuckles.
Or misses.
Yeah, misses.
He would miss because he's blind, you know.
Ha, blind jokes. We're on the cutting edge of Star Trek humor.
So Data's like, if you're going to cure yourself, I want to help.
I at least want to watch you die.
Yeah, right. I promise myself I want to watch all the crew members die. I cannot confine you to quarters for something you haven't done. So Data doesn't understand the, you know, concept of threat. Okay, whatever. So they're being bros. And, yeah. Ugh, so boring. Moving along.
This episode has a lot of scenes of Geordi walking through smoky hallways with nothing going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what, Data asks him to be careful or something? I think that's what he asks him to do.
Who cares?
Yeah, I wasn't even paying attention. So, all right, so they log in.
Geordi's mom shows up again.
Yeah, there's a commercial break, which we're not going to watch. Oh, look, Sunny D.
All right.
Yeah, purple stuff. All right, so he's back down in the command center of the ship that's down there, and there's
the
mom.
Power chamber, Scott.
Whatever, nerd.
It's in the basement.
So he's talking to his mom. He's like, "Okay, how are we communicating? What's going on?" And she's like, "Look, we find a way to send a subspace signal through the interference." you need to help us. Data's like, are you being crazy right now? And Georgia's like, yeah, I'm being totally crazy. I can totally see her. It's communicating. Okay. Shit's hard, y'all.
So basically, it turns out the volume's not loud enough when Geordi tries sinking the ship, so he has Data to crank it up to 11.
Yeah, they're going to try to, like, lower the ship to go lower because that's what the mom wants. Can we just, like, skip forward?
Yes.
Okay, skipping forward, hoppa-dabba-dabba, turning up the gain, they got to do the ship. Then, oh, my God, this thing lasts for fucking ever.
And then suddenly, aliens.
Yeah, so the aliens turn into these fire creatures, which apparently live deeper down in the planet. They got caught up in something and get pulled up too high in the atmosphere where they're going to die.
Somehow. It's not really explained what the heck happened to bring them up onto the ship.
To be fair, we know exactly what happened. That crew beamed them aboard to study them.
Goddamn Federation scientists.
Captain, there's some awesome fireball aliens down here. Let's take a look at them.
Yeah. Should we go out and see them? No. Bring them to us.
And nobody stopped to think, maybe these are paw wraiths.
That's what I was thinking. Demons of fire and darkness, or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
That was the Iconians,
the demons of air and darkness. That was the Iconians, not the paw wraiths.
Oh, you're right. Very good. Quite right. Nerd.
Yeah.
All right. So, whatever. They found out that he's down there. Picard's all pissed. They go, okay, here's what we're going to do. Oh, they accidentally picked up some life forms. Yeah, accidentally, my ass.
Like when you accidentally drop something when you're holding something up for money. It's a shame something happened to it.
Nice ship you got here. All right. To the form of their mother. They need to go deeper in the planet. They have to do they have to increase the gain, and poor Geordi might not survive it. They take it lower, and then they disconnect him because they put up another signal which compensates for this signal so they can jump signals.
What they do is they do the classic splice in the old footage feed on the security cameras.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They loaded a save state.
Yeah. So Geordi never realized that he wasn't in the simulation anymore.
It would have been so awesome if that was the entire episode. This was just a training exercise. That none of this happened. His mom's still alive and everything.
He's never told him, though.
Yeah. Good job on the simulation. And he still, like, thinks his mom is dead.
Mom's pigment.
So Picard's all pissed. Yeah, you disobeyed a direct order. You put yourself in grave danger. I am not happy. This is my not happy face. Do you see how not happy I am right now? I mean, normally I'm a happy guy, but now not so much.
I'm going to put an asterisk in your permanent record.
Woo! Not dead.
This will follow you all the way to your college application.
And then Geordi? Kind of sucks about your mom, huh?
And I was like, I just want to talk about Data for a second. He was totally cool. Don't punish him.
Yeah. Yeah, Data's like, he made me do it. It wasn't my idea. I told him not to. Okay, so Geordi feels like he had the chance to say goodbye because he got to talk to his dead mom through some sort of subspace fire alien demon. Good job, Geordi.
Or he saw his mom burning in hell for a moment.
Yeah, whatever. You know.
Made him feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bitch had it coming.
Yeah. Told you I wanted a fucking chocolate cake for dinner that night. Okay, well, that's over. And yes, indeed have a minor headache now.
Ah, but it gets better. Because I decided to do some research after I watched this episode. And you will probably not be surprised to find out there actually is a novel about what happened to Geordi's mom, sort of.
Yeah, I read that too.
Did you read the book?
No.
Why would I waste my time?
On reading? I know, right?
I see. What is it, like dead paper? Dead trees? What are they? Are you kidding?
I think you can get an ebook form.
Oh, well, that's all right then. It's an audiobook.
Then it's just on dead Kindle.
Dead Kindle. It's in a dead Nook. They all are.
So a Nook.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so apparently what really happened was some aliens created indeed a subspace funnel and transported Geordi's mom's ship to some alternate dimension or something. And
so Geordi was just right.
Like Delta Quadrant.
So Geordi was right.
Send his mom to the upside down.
So Geordi was right, but he still couldn't save her.
Yes, because by the time later when the ship he was on coincidentally also ended up in that realm of space, his mother had died.
Oh,
in a what?
In a landslide.
Yeah.
Oh, at least this wasn't a scaffolding bridge. That would have been lame, killed her? Huh?
What, Mickey?
Stevie Nicks killed her?
Yeah. Damn this thing.
Let's take a moment and picture Stevie Nicks in a Starfleet uniform and how hilarious that would be. Little bandanas tied around it everywhere.
Like a one-winged dove.
Sometimes I sit and think about what Dom DeLuise would have looked like in a Starfleet uniform.
Yes. Oh, yes. He's still got the hat.
Yeah.
That is delicious.
Orson Welles in a season one uniform.
Scant?
Burt Reynolds.
In a Scant.
I'd be on his ship.
Well, I know you would. You'd be.
Oh, can you imagine Burt Reynolds as your captain? That would be awesome.
It would be awesome. Holy Christ. He'd be sitting there, like, sitting on the bridge, chewing it's some like, gum.
If you combine Kirk with Riker.
Oh, my God. I'd have to keep shaving the hull with hair growing out of it. The warp maze cells would just get longer and
sliding
longer.
Sliding curb lift doors, just bead curtains everywhere.
There'd be a big Romulan warbird painted on the saucer section of the ship in gold. Yeah. Hell yeah. Oh, mercy. So that was it. So what do we have next? Next we have Identity Crisis. Oh, yep. That sounds positive.
That's the episode where Geordi turns into an anthropomorphic penis.
Is that the one with the shell-forming toy?
Yeah.
Ordinarily, also an episode I've never seen.
Ordinarily, I would say you'd have to be more specific, but yeah.
But you know the shell-forming toy I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. We saw it at the antique mall, I believe.
You see it everywhere. If you ever see a place that's selling old Playmate Star Trek figures, that figure is fucking there.
Yeah, that and Threshold Tom Paris.
Unless I bought it already.
True.
Yeah, you need to stop buying those. You have like 50 of them.
Well, they come with salamander babies.
So does your garden.
Yeah, hey, Mickey, half the troop built is salamander babies.
That's disgusting.
It's the future of humanity, you know.
Oh, I mean, I understand our relationship with that episode. I still kind of want to do it, but I know we can't.
No, we will. Yet. We will. At whatever
I know
point
we will.
We decide that we're not going to do this anymore. That will be the last episode of the podcast. That's how this works.
I know.
And
the
that
rule.
Day will come eventually. I just have no plans for it right now.
I don't know.
It will either be when we don't want to do it anymore or when we're out of episodes.
God, yes. Wouldn't that be a trick?
Considering there is something like 700 episodes of Star Trek altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how many episodes of Toku there are, and we quit doing that.
That's true. You beat Toku. You won.
Or did the Toku win?
No, I think you guys won. I mean, having hear you guys talk about it, I think you guys beat Toku.
You know, Dino Charge comes back next week.
Yeah, what are we doing about that?
I don't really want to do two podcasts tonight anymore, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, and I want to see more Dino Charge. I just don't necessarily know if I need to talk about it anymore.
I figure what we'll do, at least initially, is watch the first couple or three episodes of the season. Season. and
micro seasons.
Yeah. We'll watch the first two or three episodes, and if we feel enough of an need to, you know, talk about what we've seen, we'll just do, like, you know, an omnibus thing.
Like, in the whole season in one podcast?
Well, no, I'm thinking, like, you know, do, like, a monthly or so, every few weeks or something, just do, like, a catch-up thing.
Yeah. Okay, Scott, so, Power Rangers, the way those seasons work, they're 20-episode seasons, and they air them 7 episodes at a time throughout an entire year.
That's Weird. So you have to watch 7 episodes to stay current.
Well, no, no.
In January, they'll eat the first 7 episodes. Then it goes into reruns until summer.
Oh, God.
Well, actually, no. It you know, they air the first 7 or 8 episodes, and it goes in reruns until the middle of all. Yeah, I guess it is basically still the middle of summer, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it sounds so much later when you say that they go into reruns until, like, late August. Because we haven't had a new episode since, like, March, have we?
Very strange.
When the series sucks, but Downward is actually a really good show.
Yeah.
So it's kind of frustrating.
Yeah, a little bit.
Especially when, Jet, 6 years ago we were getting 32 episodes a year.
Yeah, basically continuously.
But weren't you watching multiple shows at the same time, though?
Well, no, but I mean, a few years ago, the Power Ranger seasons were 32 episodes per year.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And they had them all at once rather than breaking them apart across 2 years.
I mean, technically, Power Rangers series now are 40-episode seasons, but they split them over 2 years. Because, like, it's all shot at the same time. They just break it up for
it's
the
era. It's all very stupid.
Well, it's Nickelodeon's fault.
Way too complicated for me.
It's Nickelodeon's fault because this is the way they want to air TV shows.
Mm.
For some reason.
Strange.
But again, Dino Charge is a good show, so, you know, it's...
At least it's not Combiner Wars. I call Combiner Wars the cartoon is just a punchline of itself now.
Yeah. Like, at this point, it'd be better if it was just G.I. Joe Resolute again.
Ooh,
I liked Resolute.
Really?
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
Oh, that was the worst garbage.
I liked it.
I'm not saying it wasn't garbage, I'm just saying I liked it.
Oh.
I thought it was a fun type of trashy pork rinds garbage.
The perfect G.I. Joe series for Ken.
See, I think that's part of it is that I like G.I. Joe as being trashy and dumb. I don't really want it to be good. I want it to be awful. I want it to be Catwoman, which is why I like Resolute. Or not Resolute. The second G.I. Joe movie where the R word was. Yeah, Retaliation, because it's dumb as shit, and I love that.
Oh, wait, you're talking about the movies. I thought you were talking about that cartoon miniseries
out. That's what we started talking about.
Oh, okay. All right.
Fuck, I can't remember what it's called now.
What?
Resilience or something.
What?
Resilingence. G.I. Joe Resilingence. G.I. Joe Resilingence. That's what it was.
What? What are you
cartoon
talking about?
One.
Oh, Renegades.
Yes, that one. We were talking about that first. We moved to the live action ones after that.
Oh, okay. So no, I was thinking Renegades.
No, we were talking about Resolute, that shitty Cartoon Network thing.
Is it? Was, okay, look. Google this shit. God damn it.
It was Renegades then.
The Hub series that lasted one season.
Oh, I forgot all about that piece of trash. No, that was awful.
Now, look, I liked Renegades conceptually. It was an interesting, like, story hook. It wasn't, like, the best executed series overall. But then again, it was a G.I. Joe production.
Cobra being Walmart. That was brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, Cobra being the ubiquitous household brand was pretty good.
Which one was that?
Renegades.
Renegades. Okay, I'm looking
at Scott. I'm not even a G.I. Joe fan. Even I can keep this shit straight.
Scott, really? Jesus.
I know. What is wrong with that guy?
No, the best G.I. Joe cartoon I ever remember watching was the Spy Troop CG movie.
I never watched any of Sigma Six. I have no idea what it was even like.
Not good.
I know it had a toy line.
Yeah, which
did better than most G.I. Joe things have these days. Oh,
it did about as well as any other G.I. Joe line did.
They looked like nice toys, though. A little large, but they looked like they had a lot of stuff going on with them. So,
yeah, and yet they still weren't successful.
What? I think it's because kids don't like large toys.
Maybe it's just that kids don't like toys.
That's true. Only adults like toys.
Yeah, we're only ones who buy them anymore.
You joke, but no, that's really true.
No, I believe it.
Yeah, no, that's not even a joke anymore.
Yeah, I believe it.
But no, kids are the primary audience. Sure, they are, Hasbro. We believe you. I see those shampoo bottle sales just going through the roof for you. Whereas the deluxe figures, they just sit there and peg warm.
Peg warm. That's a funny term.
It is. We're just used to it.
I know, but I can have a giggle. Peg warm.
It's like a vagina or a butt.
Yes, exactly.
Or mouth.
Yeah.
Thank you, XB. The Holy Trinity.
You know, the mouth, the unsung hole.
But that's the hole that sings the most.
Not after I've had beans. Oh, God.
This has been a strange episode, I gotta say.
It's been very weird.
That's what we get for taking off a week for you to go do classified things.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's not a secret that I went and visited the set. It's just most of the things I saw there are classified.
If you actually go to a porno set to visit your mom at work, I think that's very sweet of you.
Yeah.
Well, she forgot her herpes medicine, so, you know.
The fluffer was out that day, so they needed to call in.
Ben's complaining that I was so loud that he could hear me all the way on the other side of the house. The joke's on him because I could hear him as well.
Yeah, the joke is on him. Wow. I can hear him complaining from here.
So can I.
But I'm 3,000 miles away.
It sounded to me like he said the laughing is making it lag.
Yes.
Oh.
All the voices coming through the internet is slowing it down. The louder you are, like, the more bandwidth it takes.
Never mind that Mickey has a faster connection than the rest of us put together.
Yeah, no kidding.
But no, we're making it lag.
Yep. Well, it could be the cow.
You have a cow on your internet?
My internet is powered by cows.
Yep. Is it run by wire out to the cow in the yard? So if the cow moves, then the internet goes out.
Yeah.
I see. Oh, my goodness.
We so stick one end in the cow's mouth, and then the other end comes out the ass.
That's typically how most paths work.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
We used to have two cows wired in serial, but then one of them died, and we had to kind of, you know, just patch around it.
Took one cow gave the milk, and the cow was serial?
Yes. We had to switch to a parallel port cow system.
You haven't upgraded to USB yet?
No. No, that whole universal
serial bovine thing.
Damn it, I saw it coming. I couldn't think about it. Damn it.
Let's close on that.
That's 2-0, you Fort Max.